Hey guys, this is Pastor James, and we want to welcome you to our weekly worship time. We want to give a quick disclaimer before we begin our service today, and we just want to say that as many other churches have done, we have canceled all of our services and gatherings, and we're doing our best as a staff of Graham Chapel to adhere to the guidelines and the requests set forth by the CDC and Governor Henry McMaster and also the other forms of government. And so we just want to encourage you guys to do the same. As a church, we're doing our best to set the example that other people can follow, and we're just trying to be safe and courteous during this time. As you can see, this is not a normal time in our culture and society, and so this is not a normal time at church either. So we're meeting at a home this morning, and we want you guys to understand that we want to be able to identify with you as you're sitting at home either by yourself or with your family. And we want you guys to be able to identify with us and to understand that worship can happen in your home just as easily, if not better, than it can happen at church inside a sanctuary. And so we want to encourage you during this time not to be downcast or sad that we can't have church, that we can't gather in large groups, but to understand that God has a purpose and plan for all of this, and He wants to use this to help us all grow in Him. And we just want to remind you, in the book of Acts with the 12 disciples, as they were praying after Jesus had ascended to heaven, they were meeting in someone's home in an upper room, and they were praying for the Holy Spirit to come. And that's when the Holy Spirit came down, filled their hearts, and that was the day that the church was born. It was not in a sanctuary, not in a synagogue, not in any kind of official church building. It was in someone's home. So we encourage you today to remind yourselves that Jesus Christ, if you claim to be a follower of Him, Jesus Christ lives in your heart. And because of that, you can worship God today, whether you're at home or no matter where you are. You don't have to be at church in order for that to happen. So today, as we begin our worship time, we're going to have a couple different things going on. First, we're going to have some time of worship and music, and we encourage you guys to sing along with us. After that, our staff and one of the couples from our church is going to be participating in a roundtable discussion, and we really feel like you guys are going to be able to identify with some of the topics that we're talking about. And so as that time is going on, we really encourage you to interact with us during this video time. So if there's a question about something that we're talking about, if you would like to have something explained further, if you would like to have a question answered from a Christian perspective, or maybe you have a request that you would like to have prayed over, we encourage you to message us during that time. There will be people from Graham Chapel available to communicate with you. And so today, we want to welcome you. We are so thankful that you are tuning in with us, and we're so thankful that you are a part of the Graham Chapel family, because you're a part of that family whether you know it or not. So welcome to the Graham family this morning.
I worship you. I worship you. touching every life. I worship you. I worship you. For you are here, bending every knee. I worship you. I worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are.
Unravel me with the melody. Thank you. so much for this day, God. Thank you for our church family, God. Thank you for just your grace and your mercy, Lord. God, I pray that in the next few moments, Lord, that you will speak, that you'll give us ears that hear, eyes that see. God, that you will just shut out any outside distractions, God, that for a moment we'll just be able to be still in your presence, Lord, and to hear what it is that you want to say through the panel today, God, and through our discussions, Lord. I pray that they would honor you, that you would hide us behind the cross, Lord, and that people would leave having felt your spirit, God, and experienced your love. In your name we pray. Amen.
Okay, guys, so we want to welcome you to our roundtable discussion this morning. We're just going to go ahead and start off with talking about the elephant in the room, this COVID-19 coronavirus that has just flipped our world upside down in a matter of a month. And basically, everyone's life's different right now. So the first question we're going to talk about is just get everyone's feeling about life during this time right now. So we're going to start with Haley, who's our worship leader, and we're just going to get her to share about what's different in life and how you're feeling about this.
So I think for my family personally, because we have a three-month-old at home and then also have a lot of family who fell into the underlying conditions category, the emotion we felt the most is just overwhelmed, because at the beginning there was so much information coming out from so many different places and so many different opinions about the severity of the situation, and so we felt super overwhelmed at the beginning and still feel a little bit overwhelmed now.
Yeah, and just as the youth pastor, it's one of these times where, like, initially, it's like, school's closed. This is kind of awesome. Like, I can hang out with youth all the time. And then it's like, you can't gather with more than 10 people. You can't gather with more than 3 people. And so it suddenly becomes like, oh, this isn't quite what I thought it was going to be. And even now, like, trying to build relationships with some of those parents that I don't know as well, like, I put it out to one youth, still following CDC regulations, like not gathering with large groups. Yeah. But then they talk to so-and-so, and so-and-so talks to so-and-so, so they want to come. And they're like, grandparents that they live with, it's like, we do not allow him to go anywhere, which is totally reasonable for a grandparent to say that. They're the ones in charge of their kids. And so just trying to, like, tell the grandparent, yes, I agree with you. I'm not trying to convince your kid to leave their house right now, but just trying to, and then tell the, like, how do I love the kid well and be like, sorry, I can't hang out with you right now. So it's this weird time of, seems like I should do more and hang out more, but I just can't.
Yeah. Before we pass this on to Mark, we just want to encourage people and just do a quick reminder that we are encouraging you to participate online right now, ask questions, share your feelings with us, and like we said, we'll have someone from Graham participating and interacting with you. All right, Mark, how do you feel about it?
So I was really indifferent about it at first because there's so much information that conflicts with so much other information, and I feel like really a lot of people that are saying the information that we're supposed to follow maybe aren't really sure themselves about what we're doing because this is all brand new. But I keep remembering, I'm pretty sure it's Chip Ingram constantly says, he talks about how you're quite literally indestructible until God's done with you. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of resonated with me through all this. And it's, you know, it's one of those things where there's nothing I can really, I mean, we can wash hands and we can do all this stuff, but if we're done, then we're done. And you know, so I think it's really important in this kind of stuff to focus more on God and faith, that it's a faith thing, like that we're going to be fine, and leave it up to Him to kind of, you know, lead us where we need to go with this.
Right. So coming right off of that, I've not been like afraid. I feel like I have a very chill personality for the most part, but I did have a moment of, what if we do die from this? Like, you know, and are you ready to leave this world? And it was convicting.
Yeah. So I know for me personally, it's been super weird, because where we live in northern Spartanburg County in Chesney, basically we have been unaffected by this, other than just trying to maintain the guidelines and you know, just being respectful to our government and setting that example for our church people. We haven't really felt the effects of this, so it's been a little frustrating having to do all these things when we're not experiencing the blunt end of this thing yet. And so I think right now it's just been super weird, even for me as a pastor, to change everything that we do on an everyday basis has been like flipped upside down and changed within a matter of days, because we're trying to keep this from being a big issue in our area, which is great. Like, we want to prevent this from happening. But at the same time, it is a little frustrating to do that because you guys know I've rebelled against social media, internet for almost my whole life. And so now I'm being forced to do this. If I want to continue to be a minister of the gospel and minister to the people of our church and the people of our community and beyond, this is the way that we do this now. And so it's been definitely a new issue. So the next question we have on our discussion is this the end of the church as we know it? Which has kind of been one of those things we've asked several times within our leadership and our staff meetings and stuff. So what are you guys feeling on this? You guys can share as you feel led.
Yeah, I think it's kind of twofold. One, eventually we'll get back to some sort of normal. Like, it might be different than it was before, but we'll still be able to have church as we've traditionally seen it before. But on the other end of it, it's like, you know, in a lot of ways this can be positive because hopefully right now, like, there are families at home reading the scripture together, praying together, like parents praying for their kids that haven't really done that as much anymore. So hopefully, to some extent, of the American church, this is the end of church as we have known it. Not to say, like, you know, Hebrews 10:25 talks about we need to gather together. There's always going to be need for corporate worship and corporate gatherings. Mm-hmm. But to an extent, hopefully this does give power back to the people in the church instead of just kind of hoarding it. Not that we want it, but, like, it just gets passed to pastors more often than it should. So hopefully, to some extent, it is the end of church as we know it.
That's what I was thinking about. Like, it's going to make this more personable for everybody. Like, they're not leaning on our pastors to do all the legwork. Like, I feel it's a good way for them to build their relationship mm-hmm. and not lean so heavily mm-hmm. on the elders of the church to do the work for them.
Mm-hmm. And going off that, like, the responsibility, like you both are saying, really does lie within the home.
Yeah.
Which we know is what church looked like to begin with. And I think too, in all of this, like, it didn't catch God by surprise. You know, like, he knew at this very moment, at this very time, that this is what our world would be experiencing. Mm-hmm. And the thing is like, what is it that he wants to do in this? And he wants to meet with us. Like, he mm-hmm. wants to meet with you in your living room. He wants to meet with you with your family, with this group. He wants to meet with his people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, not to be short and not as eccentric, but I feel like we're all going to be back to normal pretty soon. I don't have a lot of concern with what we're going to look like after this. Hopefully, yeah, as you guys have said, this will strengthen the church in, as it applies to individuals as they go through this kind of stuff, because, you know, fear is a great motivator to go to God. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are afraid. And, you know, when there's something like this that affects you, and scares you, and you can't fix it, you run to God. So I think there's probably a lot more people that will find themselves a little closer to the Lord through all this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when we talk about, is this the end of the church as we know it, I think one of the things of just understanding, I forget which one of you said, like, God was not surprised by this. Mm-hmm. And actually, we as a staff, you know, this is Timmy, our youth pastor, Haley, our worship leader. Mark plays drums for our worship team, and Brittany volunteers, does a lot of decorating and stuff in the nursery and things like that around the church. And so we're just grateful for them hosting us in their home to this morning. But this is kind of more for our staff. We don't feel like, number one, we weren't caught by surprise in all of this. And we definitely know that God was not caught by surprise in all this, because we feel like God has been speaking to our staff and as a church for several months now. And so I'm going to let you guys just kind of share about some of our prayer times and staff meetings that we've had over the past several months. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so we just really, in the staff meetings 8 months ago or so, we're really looking at, okay, you know, what is church? What is church supposed to be? How do we truly worship God? Because at the end of the day, like, it's so easy in church world to get caught up, okay, our competition is this church down the road or this big church. But it's like, we're all on the same team as those churches. Mm-hmm. And so how do we, in our context at Graham Chapel, be the church that God is calling us to be? And how do we honor him? And so we're trying to get back to some of those concepts as the main thing. Like, going forward, when we want to lead this church in the direction it's going to go, we want to be that towards God. And so, like, what is it? And that's those conversations we had. And so it essentially came to this question, if we couldn't meet, if we couldn't have services, if we couldn't use our facilities, would Graham's Chapel still be a church? And so this is this question we had 8 months ago, and here we are today. We can't meet for services. We can't meet in our buildings. And so it's God kind of put this before us, and so we kind of were looking at how do we do that. So.
And we looked at also how that related to worship, because one of the things we had talked about in the midst of talking about, you know, what we would do if we weren't ever able to meet in the church was, what is church actually supposed to look like? Like, what biblically is church supposed to be like, and our worship supposed to be like? And I came across a podcast in the middle of all of these conversations and meetings we were having to pray, where this lady just made it simple. She said, I feel like we overcomplicate what worship and even church is supposed to look like, because she said it literally started in the garden, and it was God walking with Adam and Eve. It was a closeness with Adam and Eve, where they had no inhibitions, no hopes, nothing that they wanted from God other than just to be with Him and to walk with Him. And so it became Him, or started with Him walking near us, or walking with us, and it became Him drawing us near Him through the sacrifice on the cross. And so worship and like aspects of proximity and just this closeness to Jesus was something that I feel like we talked a good bit about when we were meeting to pray, and what that looked like specifically for Graham. And now, like Timmy said, we're in this position where we are in our homes, and it's like, are you only close or feeling close to the Lord on Sundays and Wednesdays? Well, now that's gone. So what does it look like Monday through Friday? And this idea of, you know, our personal worship really bringing power to our corporate worship. And just some scripture she mentioned was in Romans 12:1, where it says, therefore, I urge you, Paul says, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. So basically her saying, because of what God did, our only reasonable response is to worship. It's to give our lives, to give ourselves as a living sacrifice, and to walk closely with Him in that response and relationship that He wants with us.
Yeah, you know, it was, when we talk about those prayer meetings that we were having as a staff and meeting together with one another, it was kind of weird at first, because it was super frustrating. We were meeting together, we were praying. We felt very strongly that God wanted to do something great through our church, in our community. And it's kind of frustrating when you feel like God wants to do something amazing, God wants to do something great, but you don't really know exactly what that is and how that's going to happen. And so basically we were looking at this and blindly following the Lord, begging Him to speak to us. And so, as Timmy was talking about earlier, that question of, you know, if we weren't allowed to have services and meet together at church, how would Graham Chapel continue to be a church, to be a body of believers together? And that was something that we kept being drawn back to time and time again. And we'll talk about that a little more here in a second. But what I'd like to do real quick is just for each of us to kind of share some personal flaws in our views of church, or maybe like something that we feel like we're just kind of more naturally drawn to that aren't really necessarily God's will for what He wants from us. So if you guys want to share, that'd be good.
Yeah. And so for me, a lot of times, like with youth ministry and just church in general, I want to try to often, because it's easy, you get into your routines and it gets mundane, and you're serving in this area, you're serving in that area, and suddenly you're like, you're tired leaving church. And so I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do everything I can to make it as easy as possible for everyone who comes, but then essentially I'm not letting the whole church carry the church. And so it's like I'm almost lessening it then, because when people are doing less, they're less connected. And so it's kind of like, essentially, this is a very anti-my mentality, it being a program, it being an event and stuff like that. But when I'm planning and doing everything and not letting other people get involved, then essentially I am saying, this is an event, this is a program. When you come here, you don't have to do anything. You can relax, instead of saying, okay, how can I help you grow more in your faith? Like, even as a youth pastor, instead of being like, okay, how can we have this super fun youth event? How can I have this great sermon, this great lesson? I need to really go into the mentality, how can I help each one of these youth grow in their faith? And that's going to happen outside of Wednesday nights and Sunday nights and all of these times. It's that commitment that has to be daily to some extent.
Yeah. The big one for me was when, you know, there for a while, early on, back when, you know, you used to play with us, and it got to where leading worship and the practices and all that almost got to where they were burdened. They felt like a job, you know. It didn't feel like going to play music with friends. It felt like I gotta be there at a certain time, and I gotta make sure I'm at practice, and I gotta make sure I know what's going on, and I gotta make sure I do good, and you know, and then like I had this perspective shift at some point, probably when right around the time you showed up, Haley, where it wasn't so much, you know, oh man, I gotta get up and get ready, and I gotta, you know, hurry up and be here and do that. It turned into like, how lucky am I to be able to be a part of the group that brings people into the presence of God every Sunday morning? That's a pretty cool thing. So that was there's mine.
And rolling
your
off,
two cents.
Oh,
no, you're fine. Go
ahead. I'll roll off of him, like from the worship aspect. There's a song right now by Cody Carnes that talks about it. He's basically apologizing to the Lord and says, I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I've just sang another song. Take me back to where it started. I only want to be with you. And that, again, is that idea of literally just the Lord wanting to be close to us. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it can become very rudimentary because we are meeting weekly, and we put in a lot of time.
Yeah, well, I never saw it as this is my time to worship God. Yeah. I always saw it as this is my time to do my job.
Exactly.
You know? And when it changed, and it was like, all right, this is, you know, I'm doing what I'm doing, but this is also my time as well.
Yeah.
You know, and honest to goodness, I almost feel like I play better now.
Yeah, I love that, because that's cool. That would be like kind of the same struggle that I had was like, there have been, you know, Sundays where I felt like we just sang another song, or we did one just because we needed to or had to. And yeah, so that was, I totally relate to that from the worship aspect.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I can't really honestly think of any flaws as someone that comes in. Like, I just come in to absorb everything, and I just wanted to kind of touch on what you were saying. But am I wrong in saying that your 2020 was kind of something God had pressed on you? Mm. I feel like I refer back to those 2020 series for what's going on right now so much. Like, I feel like a lot of the things that you touched on was preparing the people of our church for what's going on now. Like, you touched on how to pray. You touched on so many different things that I feel like were preparation.
Yeah. And so that whole aspect of, and again, we don't feel like we were caught off guard in all of this. You know, it's weird, it's different, but definitely not caught off guard, that the Lord was preparing us. He knew what was going on, and I feel like because we humbled ourselves and we prayed and we sought after Him and His will and His face, that He was able to reveal just small snippets into this. And so, talking about that, let's go back to that question of, if Graham Chapel couldn't have church, if we couldn't have services, how would we continue to function as a body of Christ in ministering to the community, ministering to people? And that was one of those, that was the question that basically, when we began to present this to our board of elders, that the Lord is speaking to us about this, you know, kind of taking us in a different direction. This is about the same time that we started the 2020 Vision Series, where we began to communicate to the church body what the Lord was kind of speaking to all of us on. But also, when we presented this to our board of elders, that we wanted them to kind of catch a whiff of what the Lord had been giving us. And so we went to them and we asked this theoretical question. Basically, if it was illegal for churches to exist, if the government told us that we couldn't meet anymore, they confiscated our land, they confiscated our buildings, they confiscated our finances, and church was illegal, how would we continue to be a part of the body of Christ? And so Timmy was the only one of us who was in those meetings with me. So I'll let Timmy share real quick about kind of the response that we got.
It was pretty funny, because we were just trying to deal with this hypothetical situation.
Yeah.
It's like, if this were to happen, and we weren't trying, I mean, we had no idea or thought that it would happen anything like this, but if this were to happen, what would we do? And the immediate response, more or less, from most people on the board elders was like, well, that wouldn't happen. That couldn't happen. The government couldn't do that. That couldn't happen. We would still be able to meet. And it's like, we didn't really get to dive into the hypothetical theoretical, because we never really got past the fact that, oh, it's impossible for us not to be able to meet. And so it was pretty bizarre just seeing the, like, because we have a great board of elders, like they're amazing.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
It's just kind of like we never got to dive into the meat and bones of the discussion because, well, that can happen.
Yeah, we went through some theoretical stuff where we, you know, we brought the whiteboard in the meeting and we listed some things on the whiteboard that we could go through and that we could do, that we could have, and you know, to keep ministering to our church body and our community. And so it was kind of fun, and I think the board actually enjoyed it.
Yeah, once we actually got there.
Yeah, once we got there, and we kind of, like, once they went, got past the idea of, okay, this is theory, let's play along, and that once they started playing along, we had a good time, we had some really good discussions, and all those meetings that we had with us praying as a staff and the meetings with the LBA, our board of elders, is that this all fed into that whole Vision 2020 series that we're technically still in. We haven't got out of that. I mean, it's been 3 months running, and we're still feeling like the Lord is speaking to us and preparing us for this time. And the big thing was that we just kept coming back to is God wanted us to focus less on church and less on services and more on the spiritual growth of our people and for them to engage in a relationship with God on a personal level Monday through Saturday. Mm-hmm. And basically Sunday was you know, a perk day. I mean, Sunday was something we get to experience as Christians because we've spent all week worshiping. You know, it's like Haley said it a while ago, that's been one of our big sayings is personal worship gives power to corporate worship. And if you don't worship throughout the week Monday through Saturday, when you come in on Sunday morning, there's not a whole lot of momentum to build off of. And as a church, if you have a 1,000 people who gathers in a room and none of them have been worshiping personally throughout the week, then it's going to be a dead service whether you have 50 people in your congregation or whether you have 1,000. And so that was the thing, is that we wanted to get our congregation on a personal worship level with Jesus Christ where they're growing and strengthening their relationship with Christ in order to bring power and authority to the local church. And that's what we felt like we were missing. We felt like a lot of our congregants were missing that. And so that's kind of something that we've been pushing and trying to promote through this Vision 2020 series.
And I think there was one of the elders, she was saying that at the end, like, once we got into the conversation, she's like, we just need people to fall in love with Jesus more. Mm-hmm. Like, we just need people to love Jesus more. Because when we love Jesus more and we understand his love for us, that's going to change everything. How we interact with people, when we show up for services, that's going to change it. And so she's like, that is the heart. That's what we want right now for our church, for people to love Jesus more because of how much he loves us.
I think the saddest day I had during this whole time was when it was Sunday when I didn't get to go to church. So I think that 2020 series starting there would be super helpful for a lot of people if they're feeling sad about not being able to be in the church building like they normally are. Because I'm sure it helped so many people, but it was so helpful for me.
And that was the first Sunday in January. Like, that was the beginning of our year where we started off. And so you look at this, and that's the biggest thing that we want to communicate this morning. If you're sitting there tuning in this morning, that we just encourage you guys that you can worship at home just as easily as you can inside a sanctuary with a group of people. You know, Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit. He left us to send the Holy Spirit so that he could dwell inside of us, so that we could have him living in us and guiding us, and we can worship no matter where we are because of that this morning. That's a huge privilege. So as we're kind of closing up today, how would you guys encourage our followers, our people of Graham Chapel, even some of our online followers who began tuning in the past month or so, how would you encourage them to be obedient to God and continue to grow in their relationship with Christ, even though church isn't how we've always known it now?
So I would say in Scripture, God never looked, or Jesus never looked at the disciples and said, build a tabernacle and worship me. He looked at the disciples and said, walk with me, come with me. And so I would say, don't be discouraged because we're not meeting corporately or don't have the ability to meet, you know, under one roof right now, but under your roof with your family and your people and, you know, your tribe, to walk closely with him and not to be, like Brittany said, to, you know, find somewhere to start, maybe at the beginning of the series. And again, just to lean into the promises of the Lord and what he says about himself and who he says he is to us during this time.
And I would just encourage everyone that this can be the best time for your spiritual growth. Yeah, yeah. So much stuff is stripped away. Huge sports fan, can't watch sports, can't play sports, can't do anything like that. And so there's so many less things going on. Mm-hmm. And once again, like we're talking about, God doesn't live in a temple. He doesn't live in a church building. Stephen in Acts 7, like when he's getting killed for being Christian, first Christian martyr, he's being killed for his faith. In Acts chapter 7, verse 48, says, "However, the Most High does not live in houses made by human hands, as the prophet says," and quotes Isaiah, "Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all of these things?" And like, as nice as buildings as we can make and stuff like that, like if you've ever looked at the mountain or the beach, God is a much better builder and designer than we are. Like he, so there's nothing that we can build that he's going to be like, "I really want to live there."
Yeah.
Except in our hearts. Like that's the weirdest thing, that God chooses to live inside of us. Our body is that temple where he wants to dwell. And so we just need to take this time to seek him, to seek, read his word, look to prayer, like be in prayer. Listen to these podcasts. Listen to other podcasts. There's so many good services you can listen to right now to just fill yourself with the Lord. And you know, you're going to find the more we seek God, the more you're going to be filled with the fruit of the Spirit, with love, joy, peace, patience. You can go through all of those things. But those are things I want in my life. I want more love and peace, patience, kindness. And so if we're seeking God, we're going to find it and be filled in this time. Even when we're not gathering in a location, but in our homes. Because Paul went, you can read all the book of Acts. He's going, yes, to the temples, but he's going home to home, house to house. And so even though we might not be able to go from one house to another, like in your house, this is the best and most intimate time for you to grow in your relationship with God.
Yeah, I'll throw in there that a lot of the New Testament books that we read in Scripture was written by Paul, who was confined to a cell, who was not allowed to go out. So you can get great strength from that.
There you go. Yeah, so I feel like it's pretty prevalent, especially these days. We like to overcomplicate this a lot. You know, like you got to, you know, we teach kids that you got to know all your books of the Bible, you know, in order all the way up through here, and you get a piece of candy. And like, you know, and you know, growing up as a kid that was a part of that, you feel like if you can't do that, that you don't fit, you know, what you should be, what you should look like. And you know, what I've learned a lot over the past few years is that it's really not that complicated. And touching on somebody talked about Adam and Eve in the garden and stuff earlier, if you look at what happened there at the earliest form of church, is God would come in the cool of the evening and just be with them. And that was all it was. Like, it wasn't, he didn't ask them to quote a special scripture or say a special prayer or do it. Like, he just wants to be with you. So we've got all this extra time now, and he's looking for you. So go be with him.
I feel like it's just important to continue worship, but to also to love on other people. I had this girl tell me one time that, you know, Jesus loves us and he watches over us, but a lot of times he's meeting the needs of other people through us.
That's a word.
Absolutely. You know, just to be encouraging, you know, we want to encourage you guys not to be afraid during this time, and everyone who's listening in, but to understand that God is wanting to use this. Like, there's a reason. I mean, if you think about this moment in time in our nation's history, in our world history, but more as Americans, you know, the last time we've experienced something this significant and life-changing and culture-changing was during 9/11. And if you think about when people look back on that time, they always remember, you know, the World Trade Centers. Sometimes we talk about the Pentagon. Sometimes we talk about, you know, some of the other planes that were taken over and the anthrax scares and stuff. But a lot of times people don't remember the other things that were going on. But one of the things I remember significantly, I was a senior in high school, and everyone was praying. Everyone was seeking God. Everyone was chasing after him in some way, shape, or form, looking for answers. And so if you're a Christian and you're tuning in this morning, God wants to use this. This is an incredible opportunity to start conversations with people and promote the name of Jesus Christ, promote the fact that God has a plan through all this and that he's in control. This didn't take him by surprise. And to just kind of follow up and kind of give you guys some suggestions, one of the things that we want to do is make sure that the elderly are taken care of. As we are going through this time, our elderly people are at more risk, and people with other illnesses and stuff, or health risks that are already predisposed, they're the ones who are at risk. And so we need to do a great job of making sure that they're taken care of, that we're watching over them. If you look at the book of James, chapter 1, verse 27 says, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Mm-hmm. And so we just want to encourage people during this time to make sure that people are taken care of, because there's a lot of people who have needs right now and can't see those met. You guys got anything?
I'm solid. Yeah, I'll just
good stuff.
Say what Mark said. Don't overcomplicate it.
Yeah.
Seek God. Pray. Write it down. Whatever. Just talk.
Yeah.
Also, if you are able and you can, make sure you're encouraging other people who are at risk. We have a ton of medical people,
mm-hmm.
grocery store employees, postal, UPS, FedEx, Amazon employees. I'm sure I'm leaving some people out right now who are working in the midst of all this. They're being exposed to a lot of different people, a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have the opportunity, just encourage them.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a Starbucks gift card.
Mm-hmm.
Give them an air five. Don't touch them. but, you know, just be encouraging them. Pray for them. Ask God to watch over them. Because right now, this is the time as Christians where we can live a life setting an example that will make an impact on people for years to come.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we live in fear right now, if we hunker down and we basically get into survival mode, which is kind of something else we've talked about, and we're just trying to survive and make it through this time, we're not going to be very effective. The name of Jesus isn't going to be lifted high if we're just trying to survive. But if God wants us to thrive, to look at 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. And so more than anything, God wants us to use this time as a time to glorify him and to lift
mm-hmm.
his name high and show
mm-hmm.
his love to other people, like Brittany was talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's important to remember, you know, panic is contagious, but so is calm and confidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
So
yeah.
I think it's really neat that we have the opportunity to be the people that are unafraid right now
yeah.
and to
mm-hmm.
spark questions in other people
mm-hmm.
about why in the world are we not afraid right now,
mm-hmm.
you know. Because, man, there's, like, I've personally got people in my family, some of my friends, like, they are freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't get it. They think, you know, they think I'm nuts, and I think they're nuts.
We're all nuts in our own.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's a good opportunity to just to share, you know, this peace with everybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're just for the sake of time, we're going to go ahead and kind of wrap this thing up. We really appreciate Mark and Brittany hosting us over the next several weeks. We're going to be trying to do some question and answering some questions with some of her followers. She's been gracious enough to include us in her Instagram feeds, and we're very grateful for that. Very grateful for the opportunity to meet with you guys who are tuning in this morning. And so we just want you to know we're praying for you. We love you guys, and we are so thankful for the opportunity to be a part of your life, even in the midst of time where we're all confined and the world is weird. And so let me pray for you real quick, and we'll let you guys go today. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to come inside this home and to worship you. Lord, to know that we don't have to travel to some place. We don't have to go into a specific building. We don't have to make pilgrimage. We don't have to pay homage. We don't have to do anything. Lord, as Mark said earlier, your desire is to simply to just be with us,
mm-hmm.
to walk with us, Lord, to have that relationship with us. And God, you have orchestrated this amazing thing that has happened in our culture and in our world that it's scary. We don't really know what's going on. We don't really know what to do. I know a lot of people are really confused and worried, but God, in ways, it is an amazing gift to have life slow down. For so many years now, I've heard so many people say life is so busy. I have no time. I have no time to spend with my family, no time to just sit back and read or pray. And Lord, we've been given that now. And so God, I pray that everyone here who's tuning in this morning would take this time to truly seek your face, to set aside some of this time that we've been blessed with, to pray, to read our Bibles, to engage in praying with our family, to leading our family to worship and to seek you together. Lord, that this would be a time where when life returns back to normal, we will all be stronger Christians and stronger followers of you as a result of it. And Lord, we won't come back being weaker or be in distress in any way, but God, we will come back being stronger, and there will be a brighter light shining in our world that's been in a long, long time. Jesus, we want to say we love you today. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to worship you in this home, just with us. And Lord, we just thank you for everyone who's tuning in, the opportunity they've had to worship you as well. Jesus, we love you, and we ask all this in your heavenly name. Amen.
Amen.